He's going to give you a little bit of the word, then he's going to set you free in some areas concerning your doctrine and concerning how you thought things were and actually weren't, and you were deceived all this time. He's going to get you free in all those areas. And then he's going to bless you by healing your body, giving you a miracle, setting you free from whatever things that are weighting you down, the sin that weights you down. He'll set you free from all of that. I mean, he does all those things. He doesn't do just one thing, it's salvation, that's it. When you got saved, everything was wrapped up in that salvation like a package. And it was given to you as a free gift.
Man.
All of it. Healing. Finances. Having all your needs met. Miracles. All of it was wrapped up. A healthy body. Healthy emotions. All of it was wrapped up in that package called salvation. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? But you know what is even more wonderful? Is that you have an opportunity to tell someone else about it that is around you. Your neighbor, your person you work with, your person that you jog with, your whoever, throughout this city, you have opportunities to tell others about it. And to bring them into the kingdom of God, or bring them out of them old dead churches into a place that they can receive life. You're trying to tell me to steal sheep. No, I'm just trying to tell you to give people an opportunity to have life while they're here on earth. They don't have to wait till they get to heaven. You can have heaven right here on earth. At least a part of it. I know that it can't match the glory of heaven. I understand that. I'm not no dummy. I wasn't born yesterday. Just last night. Listen, you have an opportunity to give something to somebody. We don't just come to church and have our own cozy little church and that's all there is to it. That's not the way it works. I know this is a wonderful church. I'm well aware of that. And I know you love your church. I understand that. But you have something inside you that needs to be spread out to others throughout this town and these neighborhoods. And it's time to start doing it. You can't keep putting it off. Well, I'll tell them about it tomorrow. I'll tell them about the life that's in our church tomorrow. No, today. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of the word of the Lord. Today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And I know whenever I mention that, some of you are thinking, oh boy, here we go. Well, got a surprise for you. Not quite. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Isn't Jesus wonderful? Hallelujah. One man destroyed everything for mankind through his disobedience. He knew what to do. His name was Adam. He knew what to do. He didn't do it. Another man came along, and through his act of obedience, he restored everything that mankind, that God had intended for mankind. Isn't it wonderful? His name is Jesus. And if you don't know Him, today before the day is over, please come and let us introduce you to Him. Or maybe you've known Him and you've just totally gone the wrong direction the last little while. We'll give you that opportunity to restore that relationship today. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'm born again. Thank you, Father, that I'm filled with your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that I'm free in you. Every part of my life. Thank you, Father God. I thank you that I'm blessed, Father. I thank you that I'm full of your blessings to overflowing. I thank you for your grace, that your grace is abundant and ready for me to tap into. I thank you, Father God, for your mercy and your kindness. What are you doing? I'm exercising my faith. I'm saying it how God sees it. You need to start doing that. You need to start coming here on Friday nights, or I think it's going to be Sunday nights here in the future. You need to start coming on those nights and exercising your faith along with the others. Do you want to see your city saved, or do you want to see it go to hell? What do you want to see about Ulysses? You want to see it go to hell? I think not. I want to see the entire city born again. Father, I thank You that those that are fighting God become their worst enemy and are born again. Thank You, Father. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Romans chapter 12. Last night, we were talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and what that effect of doing that had. And if you weren't here last night, I had a lot of good feedback concerning the message, and it'll be on our website in the next week, I'll say, something like that. It'll be on the website. It's www.charlierogers.org. And under the audios, the single audios, that message and the previous night, the night before, will also be on there, and then today's message also, probably. And so, if you missed last night or the night before, you can go to that website and download those messages or just listen to them right there on the website. So there's no excuse. You can't get to heaven and say, well, I didn't know that. No, you had every opportunity. You could have been here, but you weren't. You had something else to do. Okay, you can go to the website, get the message free. The gospel's free. Sometimes we have to spend a little bit of money to get it out there, but that's okay. It's free in this case. You can just go there and listen to it or download it. But we were talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and His right standing, and all these things will be added unto you. Matthew chapter 6, verse 30. What things will be added unto you? Everything in the previous verses will be added unto you. Just as He clothes the lilies of the field, He'll clothe you. He'll provide for you. Just as He feeds the birds of the air that neither gather nor store up in barns, He'll feed you, because He cares even more for us. Every hair on our head is counted. That's what He thinks about us. And we were talking about seeking first the kingdom of God and His right standing, and all these things that He talked about would be added unto us. What happens when we seek first the kingdom of God? Well, we found out that what was happening was we was changing that doubt and unbelief and getting rid of those things in our life, that darkness in our life. And as a result, we were able to access what He already gave 2,000 years ago through His grace. Everything that you would ever need now or in the days to come is given by His grace. But the way to access that grace, according to Romans chapter 5, verse 2, is access it through faith. By faith, we access this grace. What grace? The grace that He provided at the cross. Everything that you would ever need. Everything that He talked about in those verses about the lilies and how much more He thought of us above the lilies and above the birds of the air. All of those things that He provided for us, we access them through faith. And so when you begin to seek God and you begin to turn yourself toward God using the things that we teach here, some of you may be new this morning. We teach a lot about praying in tongues. We teach a lot about fasting. We teach a lot about worship and confession, using the Word of God to exercise our faith. We take all of those things and begin to use those things to turn ourselves toward God. And when you do that, you're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His right standing. And as a result, then, you're getting rid of that doubt and unbelief. You're getting rid of those things in your life that controlled you, that you exalted above the things of God. And when you begin to seek the kingdom of God first, you begin to turn that direction. You get rid of that doubt and unbelief, and the result is you end up with faith. What faith? The faith necessary to access His grace. What's the definition of grace? Free, unearnable, unmeritable, meaning You and I didn't deserve it, but we got it anyhow. Free, unmeritable, unearnable act of grace, this free gift that God gave us. Not just salvation, but everything was wrapped up in this. I get amazed at how gullible Christians are. They have a free gift that God gave them. You don't have to do anything to get anything. It's already there. All you got to do is access it by faith. We're just getting you to a point where you have the faith necessary to access that, that you can be free in these areas. But yet, a big mouth teacher or preacher will come on TV and tell you that you've got to give $100 in order to get $1,000. And you swallow it hook, line, and sinker. That's false doctrine. I pity that person. They have to stand before Jesus someday and be accountable for the doctrine that they preached.
That's right.
That's why I want to use the meditational principles that we have and confession and praying in tongues, letting the Holy Spirit, that teacher, come in and begin to teach me, because I want to know the right things to give you. I don't want to be giving you false doctrine. I don't want to be giving you wrong things. I want to be giving you the truth and the Word of God, because someday I have to stand before Jesus and be accountable for the words that I spoke to you on this day and the previous two nights. I take it serious. But I'm not going to stand by and let people be deceived because of somebody preaching false doctrine. I'm just not going to do it. I don't care if it doesn't make me the most popular guy around. I'm not going to do it. You don't have to give to get. And if somebody tells you that you have to tithe and if not, you'll be cursed, you need to go find yourself another church. Right here's a good one. We don't teach that here. If you're going to put yourself back under the law, you need to be killing lambs and bleeding them on the altar. We know better than that. One lamb came and gave his life, the perfect lamb. His name was the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave his life one time, took care of all of that, took us out of the law, fulfilled the law, and brought us into this time of the Spirit and of grace. Now we can hear God for ourselves. We can listen to God and be obedient to God and do what God says. We're not under the law any longer. So you need to think about these things that you're being taught in other places. I know there's some good churches out there. But listen, don't be swallowing stuff hook, line, and sinker. Get in the Word of God and begin to meditate the Word of God using these principles that we lay out for you, and find out what I'm saying. See if what I'm saying is truth. Don't take my word for it. Get in the Word of God. Search it out. Mm-hmm. Meditate on it. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Get your own answers.
That's right.
See if it lines up. Check it out. I dare you.
Right.
Check it out. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. So in Romans chapter 12, we'll start about verse 3. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. I want to concentrate on this just a little bit more. There's some verses here that I want to focus in on. Verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And Paul said that he was through the grace that was given to him, that he was, and the measure of faith that came along with that, he was saying these things. And he said, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. See, God called every person in this room, no exceptions. He called every person in this room to a part of the body of Christ. He called them to do something within the body of Christ.
Yeah, that's right.
Every person here. Not one is left out. When you got born again, God had a calling upon your life. Gifts were presented to you. Now you say, well, I don't feel like I have a gift or a calling within the body of Christ. You haven't tapped into it yet. And that's what he's talking about here. That's what this is all about. Is you've got to do the things necessary to tap into that gift, to find out what your calling is. And then you've been presented with the grace necessary to fulfill that call. There's just one problem. You've got to access that grace. And you're going to, if it's to prophesy, you're going to prophesy according to your faith in that area. And you may start out, you may discover, I was called to give money into the body of Christ. I was called to make money. And you're going to start out according to your faith in that calling. And it may be just a little bit to begin with. You may just have just a little bit of faith to begin with concerning that calling. And so then you act according to that faith. And that faith isn't very much maybe to begin with. But that's only the beginning. That's only where you start. But the first thing you got to do is find out what is my place. And then you got to begin to walk in it. Whatever that place is. But if you don't do nothing to find out that place, then you'll go through the rest of your life, die and go to heaven and stand before Jesus, and yes, you'll be born again, but you never done anything with what He gave you to do with, because you never found out what that calling was. You never began to walk in that calling. You never began to do. And it might be one of these, more likely it's one of these things that we just read off here, because he was addressing the body of Christ. He was talking to saved people when he wrote this. He said if he was basically saying there's all these gifts. Liberality, that means making money for the gospel. That's what that's talking about. Prophesy. Maybe you're called to prophesy. Will you prophesy according to your faith? If you don't have much faith and much confidence in the fact that you're called to prophesy, you're not going to be prophesying very much. But I got good news. That regardless of your calling, there is a way to find it out. And then after you find it out, there is a way to increase the faith concerning that calling, that you can walk into it and your calling can become stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger if you apply the principles in the Word of God necessary to increase that faith, which will access the grace of God.
Amen.
What grace? The grace that was provided for you to walk into your particular calling in the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. See, you can start today. If you don't know what your calling is, you can start today to find out what that calling is. I would go and I would begin to shut myself off an hour a day or 30 minutes a day, whatever I could, and I would begin to seek the face of God and try to find out, God, what is my calling? What is my calling in the body of Christ? I need to know. Father, I desire to know. You said that I could have this calling regardless what it is. I don't know what your calling is unless He reveals it to me. And He should reveal it to you first. But if you're not looking for it, if you're not going in there after God to seek first the kingdom of God and His right standing, how are you going to know His calling?
That's right.
And you, are you going to believe me just because I told you? No, you're going to go in there and find out for sure. You know, if I ended up giving you a word of knowledge and saying, you know, that God has this for you and is waiting for you to accept it, you're the one that's going to have to go in the prayer closet after it. I can't find out for you. That's not my job to find out for you. The pastor can't do that. Pastor David or Pastor Cindy, they can't do that for you. They're not going to be holding your hand when you get before Jesus in heaven. You're going to stand there by yourself. Neither is your wife that's been praying for you that you've been letting her do all the praying for you. She's not going to be there to hold your hand. Neither is your husband. They might be there nearby, but they're not going to be standing before Jesus with you holding your hand. So you have to begin to seek the kingdom of God and His right standing. Seek first the kingdom of God and His right standing. And all these things will be added unto you. Yes, your calling. Your calling. You'll begin to know your calling. And then you can begin to walk in it. And then you say, well, okay, I want to take it a step farther. I know my calling now. I want to take it a step farther. Well, you've got to begin to walk into it. Those callings, those gifts and callings are meant to bring others into the body of Christ and to assist the body of Christ and increasing the kingdom of God. That's what they're designed for. That's what God designed them for, is to increase the kingdom of God. And so you go in the prayer closet and you begin to pray in tongues. And then you begin to, every now and then you'll throw in some fasting. And then, you know, you'll spend a little bit of that time in your prayer closet and worshiping God, telling Him how much you love Him, how wonderful He is, how glorious He is, and thanking Him for everything that He's given you, even when things look bad. You mean when things look bad, you still thank God for all that He's done? Oh, I thank Him for those times. I thank Him for those things even more when things are bad.
Right. Amen.
He is my strength.
Yes. Yes.
When I am weak, He is strong.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So you go in your prayer closet and you begin to seek God. You begin to pray in other tongues and you throw in a little fasting and you do some worship and you do this day after day as many times a week as you can. Or you can sit right here in the pew and stay the same the rest of your life.
Right.
And just listen to another sermon every day. Every time the church door is open. Or you can do something about it. I don't know about you, but I have already and I will continue to do something about it. And I will continue to shout this message from the rooftop. When you get to heaven, you can't say you didn't hear it.
Right.
See. You have to choose to obey. You have to choose to find out. So you go in there and you find out what your calling is, what your gift is to the body of Christ. And so then you want to walk in it a little bit more. Well, you've got to have the faith necessary to tap into that grace that allows you to walk in. I mean, that grace is a free gift. But, you know, we access this grace by faith. Well, if you don't have any faith, you've got a problem. So you got to increase this faith. Well, you got to do the things necessary, and that means seeking God. You know, it says in Jude, he says, "You, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost." Well, there's a way to build up your faith. How about exercising your faith? Oh, I thank you, Father God. I thank you that I know your calling and that I'm walking in it. I thank you, Father, that I know your calling and I'm walking in it. You're not changing God. We're not trying to change God. What we're trying to do is change ourselves and move ourselves from one place to another. We don't have to stay the way we are right now. We don't have to stay where we're at right now. We can move farther. We can take the faith of God, the God kind of faith, and begin to access what He gave us freely. We can begin to do that. If we begin to exercise our faith, begin to go farther into the things of God. So as a result then, your calling, your gift, will get stronger and more active in the body of Christ. What is happening? He's able to use you. He's able to use you. A trust is being built between you and God. Yes, the gift was free. But you've got to build the trust. You've got to build the trust between you and God. Hallelujah. So you began to go a little bit more into the things of God and do a little bit more. And then that gift gets stronger. I remember thinking, God, you know, everywhere I go, the body of Christ, you know, they want to hear a word, and sometimes it's the right thing to do that, and sometimes, you know, you just need to get on your face and seek out God. But I was thinking, God, you know, I would like to prophesy more. And it says to desire the gifts, to desire earnestly to prophesy. Because why? Because it edifies the body of Christ. Now, as long as it's correct, as long as it's from God, well, if you're seeking God out and spending time with God, you're going to say what God is saying. You're going to hear God. You're going to obey. So I begin to say these things like, you know, every chance I got, I say, I desire to prophesy. I desire to prophesy. I desire to prophesy. Well, he says here that you'll prophesy according to your faith. What was I doing? I was beginning to build my faith up in that particular area using the Word of God. I desire to prophesy. Father, your Word says that I should desire to prophesy. I should desire to prophesy. I thank you, Father God, I desire to prophesy. I thank you for that, Father. I desire to prophesy. And lo and behold, wouldn't you know what began to happen? People began to get in front of me, and I began to hear this voice from my innermost being. And it would come up and it would say things about this person, and I would begin to deliver this person this message that God had for them, and it would begin to confirm things in their life about things that were happening and things to come that they knew about, that was inside them, they knew about, but it brought confirmation to their life. What was happening? I was building my faith up in that area. And I was able to tap into the grace that He provided. That free gift was there all along. I just wasn't tapping into it until I made a point to begin to do that. I don't know what your gift is. I don't know what your calling is. But you're not going to find out unless you begin to seek first the kingdom of God and His right standing. And then that will be added unto you. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? You know, all these things in the Word of God that are free, all we have to do is access them and receive them. And He gives us a way that we can begin to do it. And you thought we were just trying to beat you into prayer and praying in other tongues just because we wanted something to do. No. No, all of it serves a purpose. That you can go in after the things of God and begin to receive what God freely gave to you. Hallelujah. Glory. Are you seeing this? You seeing this? He says, by this grace. Paul said, by this grace that God gave and a measure of faith, that's how I'm saying the things that I'm saying. Well, He's done the same for you and I. By His grace and a measure of faith, He's given a particular gift for you to use in the body of Christ to bring to bring as a gift to the body of Christ. I don't know how else to put it. But to bring a positive to the body of Christ, that you can have some influence in the body of Christ. Maybe it's bringing a cup of water to somebody. Maybe it's feeding somebody hungry in the church or outside of the church. I can tell you right now, the Word of God says this, that not even a cup of water or a plate of food will go unnoticed in heaven whenever it's done here on earth to someone who's hungry or thirsty. And it was talking about all three, spirit, soul, and body, meaning you could feed them in bodily hunger, you know, food, regular food, or, you know, you might feed their emotions to bring them to have healthier emotions. Or maybe you could feed them spiritually and change some doctrine in their life that they've been deceived in. But I can tell you right now, not one cup of water, not one plate of food, not one shirt on the back will go unnoticed in heaven. That right there is a good place to start if you don't know what to do. And then we can talk about Mark 16 and the believer's call. Those who believe will lay hands on the sick, speak with other tongues, cast out demons. Those who believe. The believer's call in the body of Christ.
I thought it was a deliverance ministry it was talking about. No.
He's talking about the believer's call. The end of Mark 16. Hallelujah. So many things in the Word of God. I tell you what, the miracles are wonderful. The healings are wonderful everywhere we go. And I'm looking forward to this next trip to Peru. I'm getting all excited. But I was more so excited about coming up here at this point because I was able to give out, you know, what He had in the Word of God. I get more excited about that these days than I do the other things. Oh, I'm excited about all of it. Don't take me wrong. But I just love going in the Word of God and dispelling some of these untruths that you and I have swallowed all these years, hook, line, and sinker. And revealing truth in the Word of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You getting anything out of this today? Hallelujah. And you thought you were just coming to a church service. Hallelujah. You came as an appointment with God. You know, you have a toothache and you go to the dentist, you keep that appointment. How about keeping an appointment with God? When's the next prayer night, confession night?
Sunday night.
How about keeping an appointment with God? Walt Disney's not on Sunday evening anymore, is it? Yes, I know. I know I'm not as young as I used to be. I understand that. Anyhow, you can keep that appointment with God. You can begin to use that evening to begin to seek out what God's calling or gift is in your life in the body of Christ. You can begin to use that. You can begin to use that to turn yourself around and get set free from things in your life that you know is not right. You can begin to use that night to begin to get rid of the darkness in your life. You can begin to be set free by keeping an appointment with God. Well, you have an appointment with God this morning, and He wants to do some things in your life. This is your opportunity, because that grace is here to be able to begin to change those things and go whatever direction that God has for you, and to change the direction that you've been going. Maybe you haven't been going any direction. Maybe you're just stalled out right where you're at. Well, this is your opportunity this morning to get a jump start, to kick start that thing and get it going. They still kick start motorcycles, Kim? Okay, see, I'm way behind. Hallelujah. Well, this morning you have an opportunity to turn the on switch. and get that engine roaring down the highway.